is Max Access, where Mackenzie Barwell takes you closer to members of Forge FC off the pitch on the Forge Audio Network.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Max Access. I am your host, Mackenzie Barwell, coming to you on April 11th, 2024. I can't believe I'm saying this, but the CPL season kicks off this weekend here at Tim Hortons Field. Your Forge FC will match up against Cavalry for not only that home opener, but the 2023 CPL final rematch. So you'll want to get here early for the game, but also that medal giveaway, and then you'll be able to see that championship banner unveil as well. Today, I've got a great episode planned for you. You can expect a discussion around which Forge FC players will be key in the 2024 season, a brief run through of the regular season schedule, and then a conversation with Forge FC defender, standout CONCACAF performer, Malik Awolabi Belawu. So let's just get right into it, beginning with which Forge players you should be excited to see step up not only this weekend, but the rest of the season. There was an article posted recently on the Forge FC website titled Six Questions Ahead of the 2024 Forge FC Season. I'd recommend that you all actually have a look at it. It was great, the entire thing. But there was one section that stood out to me, and that was three key players in this upcoming season. The first one they pointed out was Taron Campbell. Let me remind you that he fell short of that 2023 Golden Boot by just one goal. So not only will he have his own shoes to fill this season, but also remember the departure of Wubens Passias, because Wubens had 10 goals of his own last year. Him and Taron combined had over half of Forge FC's regular season 39 goals. So Taron, you know, will have help up front, especially with new additions like Benny, but he will have to maintain what was already an impressive 2023 campaign to really make sure that Forge has a strong attack, especially in the absence of such a strong goal scorer like Wubens. Next up, we've got midfielder, defender, Alex Ashinyo-Dionson. He's actually coming off a season recording the second most amount of minutes from a Forge player. As we know, he has the versatility to play in both the back line, but also the midfield. He's definitely proven to be a cornerstone in this Forge FC buildup between both his composure and ability to distribute. It's really unmatched. And I think, you know, while his stats might not be the flashiest, it's safe to say that he has played such a crucial role in all four of Forge's championships now since being here in 2019. He said it himself, it's not often a player gets an opportunity to mean this much to a club. Last but not least, we've got midfielder, your captain, Kyle Becker, longest running captain in CPL history. And I think in this case, the stats kind of do speak for themselves. He's got 149 appearances now, and he's actually coming off his highest producing season to date. In 2023, he scored 4 times and recorded 8 assists. He also played the most amount of minutes since 2019, and I have a feeling he has no plans of slowing down. At the kit reveal, I asked him, you know, what he's excited about going into 2024. And in front of everyone, he pointed to the trophy and said, just to get another one of these. So we'll let him do that. One other thing I wanted to include in today's episode was the gist of the regular season schedule, because there is a 3-game homestand in between April 27th and May 7th, one of which actually is a Canadian championship game. But for the most part, their schedule is pretty flip-flopped, because other than that late April stint I just mentioned, there's only 2 other occasions where they play at home for 7 days or more. Lucky for the Forge fans, though, there are no games that kick off past 7 p.m., but do remember that school day match happening on May 7th. It kicks off at 11 a.m., so pretty early, but it does give an opportunity for students and other members of the community to come hang out at Tim Hortons Field for the day. It's all very exciting stuff, and it kicks off this Saturday, but as I mentioned, I've still got an interview to show you guys. I talked to Malik, asked him about his thoughts going into the 2024 season, especially after such a stellar CONCACAF performance. So let's just get right into it. Malik, thank you for joining me on the audio network. Thank you for being banished into the room next door so that we could make the audio pristine.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Listen, we're both in Tim Hortons Field right now, but you told me the other day where you live, and it's not the accommodation like last year. It is the one and only Forge FC frat house. Please give the listeners a little bit of insight into your experience in 24, not necessarily soccer related. Let's start with your living situation. Who's there, and how are the vibes?
Yeah, we got the 2024 Forge FC Frat House. We got me, myself, Kwesi Poku, Alessandro Hajabapur, Terran Campbell, Kadeem Kane, and Montreal's finest, Matteo Schiavone.
What a lineup.
What a
What a
lineup. That
lineup.
is like, the vibes in that household are very high. Obviously, we've got Terran Campbell and Kadeem Kane. As you know, two guys that are kind of to themselves. So those two got the top floor. Don't really see them too much.
Oh,
And then we've got,
that makes sense. I feel like that works out.
it does. And then we've got the main floor. That's where, the vibes are. Myself, Matteo,
Chattiest guys.
Kwesi, and Alessandro. That floor, it gets lively. It gets lively. It gets lively.
And do you guys have any like nighttime rituals? Do you guys hang out and have dinners together, or is it kind of everyone for themselves?
So, what we were doing recently, obviously, I was just fasting for Ramadan. So when I was able to eat, it would be Matteo, myself, Kwesi usually, and sometimes Ali would join us, and we'll just sit down,
Okay,
eat,
okay.
like joke around, talk about stuff. Most recently, though, myself, Alessandro, no, myself and Matteo have been watching Game of Thrones. It's
There it
his
is.
first
Yep.
time watching. It's my second time watching. And we sometimes get a couple episodes where Kwesi and Alessandro will join us. Yeah, that's been the routine. I have a Game of Thrones, or sometimes we'll play the Nintendo Wii. Shout out
Okay.
Matteo. He brought
Yep.
his from Montreal. So, yeah, I'm yet to play. So far, it's just Kwesi and him that have played, but I'm just loading. I'm letting them get warmed up. And then when the real veterans come out to play, then,
Right when
yeah,
they're at
that's
your
on
level,
them.
you'll invite them to kind of. Okay.
Otherwise it's too unfair.
Okay, listen, I do have to talk some soccer related topics, and I would be remiss if I did not talk about your CONCACAF experience and performance. I won't go through all the stats because I've already said them on this podcast before, but eventually you did go home with CPL Player of the Game. So maybe not even related to that second leg. Overall, what do you think clicked for you, and why were you able to come out so strong like you did?
First of all, I got to like shout out my teammates and the coaches, of course. I feel like this year there's been a bigger opportunity for me to step into a more important role in the team, with us losing a couple big defenders and big players. And fortunately, Coach Bobby gave me gave had the trust in me to play me, and I think that gave me a lot of confidence throughout the games, but also through preseason as well. And yeah, when the time came, it was ultimately sink or swim. If I don't perform in those games, then I don't take my opportunity. So that was something I knew I had to do. And thankfully, it clicked. Concentration levels were high. I feel like us as a team, we played really well. And that's where I have to thank my teammates. They also gave me the opportunity to play well by, letting me just defend and letting them do what they have to do going forward. But the bar is set very high because of that. But yeah, this is why we play, and this is why I play for Forge. You play to a certain standard and try to do that every week. So
You also defended one of the best players in Liga MX, Cade Cowell. What was that like, and how do you feel like that experience made you better, and what are you going to take from those games coming into the regular season?
yeah, first and foremost, I will say it wasn't an easy task. He's obviously a very good player and plays for a very good team for a reason. But I feel like it was good playing against players of that caliber. It's nice to play against someone that's not only physically up to par, but mentally up to par as well. He's a very smart player in how he moves and how he occupies spaces. So I think that was a good challenge to take, and something that I can bring back to playing in the CPL, and just knowing how to do it against a better player, or not necessarily a better player, but a player playing at a higher level. Now it's like, okay, how can I do this against players that are also good but on a consistent level, but no, I kind of got caught up a little bit there, but
No, I see what you're saying, Emily. That was actually going to be my next question too, was you talk about setting the bar high for this team, and the same with the rest of your teammates, but it was different in the sense that you played Chivas there. They kind of like come out with this quality, this high pace of play, and you rise to the occasion. So what do you think it's going to take for Forge to kind of come into the CPL playing the same eight teams that you have in the past 4 years, but with that same force and that same grit that you were able to achieve during CONCACAF? Because even in talking to Dom and Alex, they talked about those were two of the best games that you've played in almost a year. And funnily enough, it was probably the toughest opponent. So how do you kind of maintain that level of play when maybe the team on the other side of the field won't necessarily set that standard for you?
Yeah, I feel like it's definitely going to be something that comes down to consistency and concentration. Like you said, when it's arguably two of the biggest games in Forge's history, obviously everyone's going to get up for it, and it's kind of an easier game to lock in for, if that makes sense. But I feel like over the course of the season, that concentration and that consistency is what's going to be needed to be able to, you know, go and win another championship. We have to come with that same level of play, both off the ball, on the ball, mentally, tactically, not only for Chivas, but we also have to do that when we play games against Cavalry and all the other teams in the league. So, again, it's easier said than done, because the CONCACAF games aren't one-off games, but you don't play those teams. You play those teams less frequently. So it's like, you know, more hype. And obviously Chivas is a very big club. They've been around for, I think, 120 years, 110 plus years, something like that. Obviously, it's a different type of fixture. But like I said, the biggest thing is just being consistent, and concentrating throughout, you know, all 28 games of the season in order to, you know, get that championship again.
Yeah, I think that's been a common theme with your team as a whole, wanting to see that consistency piece. For you as an individual player, I know you are big in highlighting your teammates and even the coaching staff, but after, you know, showing out like you did, and even after just another season under your belt last year, do you feel like there is a difference for you in terms of mentality, confidence, quality, whatever it is, as we go into Saturday? Like, how are you feeling now versus maybe this time last year?
Is this a question for me individually or for...
Yeah, we'll go individually, but maybe you could share both perspectives.
I'd say for me individually, I'd say yes, I've definitely developed a lot from last year. I had, for example, someone like Manjacar James at centre-back ahead of me, who's played in the Champions League, who's played a bunch of games in Europe. Like, that was someone to learn from and learn certain things from. Then I've also have guys like Alex Ancelotti-Johnson, who's, you know, loaded with experience. Garvin Matusula, who's also loaded with experience at the international level as well. So I feel like I've definitely taken on a lot of information and, like, knowledge from those guys. And I feel like I've been able to put that into play this year. I also got to give a shout-out to my two trainers, the one back home, AA Smart Coach, and the one here in Canada, Roca Football. They've also helped me throughout the off-season as well to, like, get myself ready technically and physically as well. And then, obviously, with all the training we've done here, that's helped. So to answer your question, basically, I'd say that going in from last year to this year, I'd just say the biggest difference is probably just the mentality. It's like, yeah, I've seen an opportunity, and, like, I've internalized the fact that I have to do everything I have to do in order to take it. And yeah, as of so far, it's worked out. Obviously, I got to play the last two games, but yeah, hopefully I've been able to keep myself in the coach's favor, and this weekend and going forward, I'll be able to keep playing more games and performing.
Yeah, I mean, it is convenient timing for you to kind of come to this point where you're like, okay, I have internalized this feeling, I know what needs to be done, and now you have an opportunity to kind of, or a place to show for it, even like you said, with the departure of key defensive players. So yeah, that's really cool, and I think great in terms of timing. You mentioned whether or not I was talking about individual or from a player, or sorry, from a team perspective. Do you feel like there is something to be said for a difference in mentality with this group?
Yeah, I would say that. Obviously, last season ended in the most ideal way that we wanted. We got another championship. But I feel like some around the team, we noticed that it wasn't as strong of a season as we've had in the past. So I feel like this year is like a year for us to get back on track in terms of that side of the game. And that alone is already a massive driving force for us. Obviously, we're at Forge. What we do is win. What we like to do is win. And we always try to put ourselves in the best position to win. And I feel like after what we've gone through in CONCACAF, after how we are as a team, after the vibes in preseason, like, everyone's ready to get going and do everything we can to win as much as we can. And, you know, try and, you know, write some more history, whether that be getting back in to CONCACAF Champions League, trying to, you know, progress. Obviously, that will be next year, but, you know, trying to go as far as we can in the Canadian Championship and trying to win the league and the playoffs, and then also trying to go for a three-time back-to-back-to-back champions, trying to be the first team to do that. So, you know, there's a lot of motivating factors for us. So, yeah, I feel like definitely the mentality is a lot different this year. It's better. It was good last year. I'm not going to knock the team last year, but I feel like this year we're trying to take it a step ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. I know what you're saying. There's so many goals, and but also moving parts.
Yeah.
I want to go back to something that you said earlier, though, because you talked about learning a lot from leaders on this team, like Alex, like Mandrakar, James. But as we said, you've got another year of experience under your belt, maybe this time around more established as a professional player. So how are you acting, and like, in what ways do you think you are able to help some of the newer signings kind of find their momentum in the same kind of vein that you were able to with other leaders on your team? And I mean this like in reference to maybe Zane, Dino, Mateo. Obviously, these guys are all around the same age, but, you know, they step into a place like Tim Hortons Field playing for a winning team like Forge. It's important that I think guys like you, even being in 03, kind of take on that role now that you have this experience.
I'm an 02, Hank.
02. Sorry, correction.
All good.
02.
But, no, for sure. For like you mentioned Dino, that's someone I've been close with for quite a few years now. I knew him back at the TFC Academy. I never really got to play with him. He was the year below me, but obviously when he came to Forge, I was there. That was my first year as well. So he's been someone that I've kind of went through the journey with, and like similar to him in a sense, his position is more defensive. I'd say his is even tougher than mine to break through in, because you have one position and you wait even longer to get your chance. But he's someone that, like, I've just been able to tell, like, yo, I've gone through what you've gone through, where you have to wait. And all I can say is just keep doing the right things every day. And then when you get your opportunity, take it. Obviously, we play different positions, so I can't really tell him, like, how to do his job and all that.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
in terms of, like, that aspect, it's just trying to tell him to be mentally tough and just be patient, in a sense. But with guys like Zane and Mateo, it's a little bit easier. They're outfield players. And, like, again, I've been one of the younger guys on the team. That was basically me when I first came to Forge. And luckily for me, I had my best friend, Kwesi Poku, with me. But for them, it's like, all I tell them is just every day try and hold yourselves to a high standard. And obviously, they're young guys with a lot of potential. And if they do the right things, like, they're players that can eventually go on and, you know, do big things in their career. So the best thing that I was told, and this was by Coach Bobby, actually, but it was just to win each day, just go day by day. If you look to improve every day, small steps, over the course of a whole season or course of a couple of years, you develop. And once you develop, you become a better player. And then you're in a better position to, you know, help the team and affect the game. But I'd say Mateo especially as well, because I live with him and he came from a similar journey as me where he went to play in Italy in Primavera. Me and him kind of have that connection. We both speak Italian with each other sometimes. So I'd say he's someone that's a lot more under my wing. But Zane as well, I still talk to him quite a lot. Like, I'm always spending time with him, whether it's like around the training ground or like sending each other memes on social media and stuff. So yeah, it's kind of nice to myself be in that kind of older role. I'm still not old, just so the fans know. I'm still only 21. I'm still young.
He's an 02.
Yeah, but having, you know, experienced this now, what, this being my third year, I'm able to just give them little bits of advice to try and help them. And I'm also there to also give them, not a stern talking to, but to be on their case if that's needed. Obviously, we're friends, so when I'm telling them stuff, they don't take it personally, but they also know as well that I've been in that situation, and at the end of the day, I want the best for them. So I feel like it's kind of nice to be in that role. I'm quite cool with everyone on the team. So when it comes to talking to the younger guys, I feel like they listen to what I say, and hopefully I can just keep giving them the right advice. But yeah, I'll definitely say that comes from the older guys above me, like Ashton Morgan, Cal Becker. They were passing it down to me, so I can pass it down to them.
Yeah, just like setting that standard in terms of how these established veteran players carry themselves in this setting. So yeah, I think just being that presence for them, you know, like even not only from a teammate and peer perspective, but as a friend.
Yeah.
In terms of what you were saying about Dino, obviously different from maybe Zane and Mateo, not an outfield player. And I think this is going to be a big topic of conversation now that you're seeing two relatively new faces in between the goalposts. So from a defensive standpoint, how do you ensure the smoothest transition with that and allow them to do their job, make them feel comfortable? Because we know the style of play of this team. It's not like they're not going to be involved if there's no shots on net. So, yeah, I guess from, you know, being a part of the back line, is there anything that you do, or is it just kind of business as usual, even though there will be some new faces?
I'd say for the most part, it's business as usual. One thing about Forge, and this is credit to the staff, that they always do a good job at bringing in players that can play at any given moment. So whether that be me in the back line, or whether that be Dino in the goal, or whoever in the goal, like every player is capable of doing the job. That allows that transition to be a lot easier. But then I'd just say it comes down to small things like communication. And just each day in training, trying to build small relationships with those keepers. Obviously, us as a back line, we're a unit, the four defenders and the keeper plus the six as well. So as long as we're all communicating with each other, we're all able to, you know, showcase our abilities to the best that we can. And yeah, I just feel like talking with them makes it easier. They see everything behind us, so they talk to us, we trust them, and we talk to them, they trust us. And as the days go on, you kind of start to build stronger relationships. So, yeah, we do that, but I feel like it's pretty much business as usual because every player is capable of playing and every player here is talented. So it's pretty easy.
Yeah, no, that's a fantastic response. I see exactly what you're saying. And I think it goes back to that thing that Bobby said, which is win each day. That's such a good mentality to have. I think it is also kind of similar to the 1% each day leads to, I don't know.
I'm pretty sure the quote goes something like that.
Something like that. Whatever. You get what I'm saying. Listen. Yeah. Thank you for your insight, Malik. You are on Max Access, though, so I'm going to move away from the soccer talk, although I do appreciate everything you had to say. Two questions before I let you go.
Okay. Yeah, I'm ready.
If you could wear one game day fit, you only get one to choose for the whole season.
For the whole season?
What are you wearing? Because I feel like you have a few signature looks, if you will.
In my current closet that I brought with me from home, I'd say I'll probably wear some Vans, like the new school Vans. If I can add like a wish list pair of shoes, then I'd say some Adidas Sambas. I've got those on the way. So,
Nice.
Yeah, look out for those in 2024. But I'd say, yeah, I have one of those pairs of kicks, depending. Can I do, like, stuff that I got on the way but not with me yet?
Or yeah, totally. This is up to you. This can be hypothetical.
Then I'll probably just go something simple, you know, black chinos from H&M, something calm, something light. Simplicity is key.
Totally.
And then, as I've mentioned to you, I'm looking to start a clothing brand, so the best promotion is self-promotion.
Absolutely. So it's going to be one of your own pieces then.
One of my own pieces, just a little t-shirt, you know. There's a little variety coming. Forge fans, look out for that 2024 as well. We got something on the way. Yeah. Very exciting. And then I'd probably wear something from this brand, like a sweater. This is my friend back home. His name's Oss. This is his brand. It's very comfortable. I like it. It looks nice. So I'll probably do that just to, you know, promote my guy.
Wow, good answer. I guess we'll have to see what exactly this t-shirt is going to look like come the launch of your business. So last one. From my understanding, There's something special about a home opener relative to, you know, other regular season games. You've had all this time off. You come back in. We've got the medal giveaway. We've got the banner unveiling. Everybody's back in the stadium. But from your perspective, what's one thing that you love about a home opener? Because now this is not the first time you've done it.
Besides from the fact that I'm just buzzing to play football, you know, I'd say it's just the fans. I'd say us as players, we're eager to, like, you know, get on the pitch and play football again. I think the fans are just as eager to come to games and be cheering in the stands and celebrating. So I feel like that's just the atmosphere is always crazier on the home opener day. Not to say that our atmosphere isn't crazy on a regular game day, because we have some great fans, but that home opener is just different. Like, it's the first one, there's excitement, everyone's ready to be back and everyone's happy to be back. And
That was so good. Sorry, I'm big on quotes today for some reason. But just as much as the players want to play, the fans want to be back.
Put out a big thing on the screen, you know, before the game.
Let the fans fan, or like,
let the fans fan.
Listen, this has been really great. Thank you again, Malik, for taking the time. I'm sorry to hold you from the Forge FC frat house. Please go home, watch Game of Thrones, do everything you need to do.
No problem. It was a pleasure to be here, and see all you fans on Saturday.
All right, I'll wrap up the interview there. A special thank you to Malik once again for joining me. And as always, I appreciate each and every one of you for tuning in. And I can't wait to see everybody's faces in person this time at Tim Hortons Field, 4 p.m. on Saturday for the home opener.
Thanks for listening to Max Access on the Forge Audio Network. If you like what you heard, please like, follow, subscribe, comment, and share.